By what authority are you doing these things? Maybe a more common way of asking a question like that is, who put you in charge? Or a related question, who is in charge? Who's in charge here? It's a common question, actually. Whenever something is out of order or not the way we like it or seems to be needing attention, the question is, well, who's in charge here? I was out walking this morning. There was a big rat on the road, dead, lying in the middle of the road, right in the middle of the street, just down the street. Well, who's going to move that rat out of the street? I didn't do it. It's not my job. The neighbor, they probably said it closer to that person's house. Maybe the owner of the house said, well, maybe the helper will do it. Maybe the helper said, well, probably the homeowners association will do it. Maybe the security guard will do it. Maybe the garbage collectors will do it. I don't know. Who's in charge? The rat is still there. Another example. We're, again, without water. It's the third day now. We don't have water. Well, who's in charge of the water? Is this the problem from Maynilad? Is it coming from the city? Is it a problem of the neighborhood? Or is it just our house? Or, well, do we have water in the overhead tank? I don't know. Who's in charge? This comes up all the time in politics, right? Who won the election? Well, both candidates say they won. Well, who's in charge of deciding who's the winner? It's always a question of authority. It's very important. It comes up in today's gospel. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders ask Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? Who put you in charge of the temple? That's our job. Jesus, in order to answer the question, points to John the Baptist, who has been martyred by this time. He's already dead. Before we reflect a little further on Jesus and John the Baptist, let's take a step backward to yesterday's feast. Yesterday was the Feast of the Visitation, and we encountered Jesus and John the Baptist in the very earliest stages of their life. They were both still unborn, still in the womb. Jesus in the womb of Mary, John the Baptist in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And John the Baptist leapt for joy in the womb when he sensed the presence of the Lord. So from the very beginning, John the Baptist acknowledges the authority of Jesus. Even from the womb. Not that he could think like that, but his soul could respond that way. And everything he said, you know, the story of John the Baptist, everything he said was always pointing to the one who was to come. Don't look at me. I'm not even worthy to untie the sandal strap. Look to the one who is to come after me. So John always acknowledging the authority of Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, when he speaks about his authority, always refers to the Father, the one who sent him, the one whose will he is accomplishing. Jesus is fully submitted to the authority of the Father. So this is how it works, right? The Father sends the Son, and the Son is going to send, in the power of the Spirit, those whom he chooses. Authority comes from God. Okay, let's go back to today's gospel then. Here are the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. They approach Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, just the day before, this is in Holy Week now, he has come into Jerusalem with a triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, and he went to the temple and he drove out all the vendors. He took charge of the temple. He acted as if he's in authority over this house of God. What did he say? Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace. This is my Father's house. He is the one who has authority. He sent me, so I have authority, and you who are using the temple as a marketplace, you do not have a right to do that, so get out. He took charge. If there was a dead rat there, he would have thrown the dead rat out also. That's what he was doing, like cleansing the temple. Seems like a good thing. Unless you're the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they're the ones who are in charge of the temple. So it's disturbing to them that someone else comes along and acts as if he has authority. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them? It's not clear to us if they were just jealous of their authority, or if perhaps they had some profit motive involved, because who was making money from those vendors? Who was getting the profit? Yeah, the vendors made money, the money changers made money, but did they pay the elders? Did they pay the chief priests to have a right to have a little space in the temple area? I don't know. In any case, Jesus, to answer the question of who's in charge, points to John. Was John's baptism, John the Baptist, was his baptism of heavenly or human origin? You see what he does? He introduces the two different levels of authority. There is such a thing as human authority, but there's also heavenly authority. If John's baptism was human, if it was on his own initiative or from his family or some human source, well then those who were in higher rank over him would not have to submit to it or accept it. But if it had a divine origin, if it came from God, well then everybody would be obliged to accept it. The chief priests and the scribes did not accept it. John's baptism. They did not accept the authority of John. They did not regard him as a prophet. But everybody else did. So they were afraid to say. Remember, going back to yesterday, the visitation, the people knew that John had a special role in the plan of God from the very day of his birth. When John was born, because he was born of an elderly woman, because John's father was suddenly silenced and then suddenly received his voice again, everybody in the neighborhood, or in the whole area of Galilee, said, who is this child? What is this child? What special role does this child have? They knew that from the beginning. It was clear that the authority of God was behind this extraordinary child, John. But the chief priests and the scribes, they didn't accept either is John's origin or his mission. When they say to Jesus, we don't know, they're trying to avoid the issue, right? They're trying to act as if they don't have any authority. They're not responsible to give an answer. They're washing their hands of the affair. And when they do that, when they say, oh, we don't know, it's out of our hands, then Jesus says, okay, well, then I'm not going to tell you anymore, because you are not taking responsibility for yourselves. You're not submitting yourselves to the authority of God, so why should I tell you anymore? You're not ready to accept it. What's the lesson for us, or one lesson for us? When the question of who's in charge comes up, the world's answer is very often, as long as things are going my way, I'm in charge. And when things are not going the way I like, then someone else is in charge. Someone else is to blame, not me. But if things are going the way I like it, then I'm in charge. I can make decisions for myself. I can decide who I am and what I'm going to do and how things are going to be. And when things go wrong, well, I can blame someone else. The problem with that is, it ignores the authority of God. the authority of God. Who's in charge? God's in charge. Who put everything here? Who put us here? God. So, if we want to appreciate, if we want to gain the benefit of all the great things God is doing, we have to recognize and submit to His authority. If we refuse to let God be in charge, if we want to be in charge ourselves, well, then we exclude ourselves from His plan of salvation. And that's what happens with these chief priests and scribes. They cut themselves off from the great work of John the Baptist, so they weren't prepared for the coming of the Messiah, and they're cut off from the even greater work of Jesus. The attitude in so much of the world is, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to take charge of myself and decide what the meaning of my life is, what the meaning of my behavior is, as if I am the highest authority over my life. It's a very common attitude. What about God? What about the authority of God? Who decides whether what you're doing is right or wrong? Not you, not me, God. So, this lesson about authority is ultimately a reminder to us of the authority of God, the great authority of God, the benevolent, the beautiful, the loving guidance of God, which if we submit to it, we gain the benefit of it. And if we don't, we cut ourselves off. So let's not be like these chief priests and scribes. Let us be like people who recognize the work of God and welcome it, so that we too can be, under the authority of God, participants in His kingdom.